So, Tim, since we're on the topic of political parties, I've got a question for In the Hive's Community Curiosities that occurred to me only as we were prepping this show. Maybe that we should remind people what Community Curiosities is first.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So it's our segment where we answer your questions about your community. It could be anything, really. Recently, we answered a question about air quality monitors.
Right.
And I guess you could say this all kind of kicked off when we tried to get to the bottom of how much recycling actually gets recycled.
Maybe 20% was the answer, sort of.
Yeah, anyway, so if you have a question about, like, what's that bridge? What's that statue? Are there secret tunnels under Salt Lake City? You can email your questions to comments@kcbw.org. We'll do the digging, ask the right people, and then post online and air it with the show.
We will indeed. My question, though, has to do with this story told about Utah, its statehood, and the political parties here. And it's something that I've never bothered to fact check before. But, Tim, here it is.
Ooh.
Utah, as it got closer to achieving statehood, to being welcomed into the federal fold, as it were, it had a couple of skeletons in the closet. One of those skeletons was polygamy. That wasn't allowed under federal law. But in 1890, a manifesto by Wilford Woodruff, president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, officially terminated the practice. And there's actually a lot more to that story, but we're going to leave it right there. Another of the skeletons in the closet had to do with Utah politics. And the story that I've heard is that to ensure that Utah fit into the federal mold, church leaders, and mind you, this place was settled by Mormon pioneers, church leaders sent down word from on high that people needed to divide up into the dominant political parties to better fit the U.S. structure. And so in ward houses across the land, bishops, standing before their congregations, said something like, "From here on out, everyone to my right is a Democrat, and everyone to my left is a Republican."
That's something wild. Like that. Are you serious? How did that even work?
And voila, ready for statehood, just like that. That's my Community Curiosities question, Tim. And actually, before airtime, I didn't really have time to get to the bottom of the story. I only started looking into this yesterday. But here's what my quick digging turned up.
Please, let's hear it.
Okay, so in 1966, a former University of Utah political science professor and first director of the U's Hinckley Institute of Politics, the late J.D. Williams, wrote an article entitled "The Separation of Church and State in Mormon Theory and Practice," where he delves into this. And he writes, "Statehood for Utah was delayed because Congress was convinced that the Mormons
had too many wives and too few political parties. Prior to 1870, the parties were few enough, all right, just one, called the People's Party. It was the political vehicle of the Mormon leaders for such tasks as electing the territorial legislature and Utah's delegates to Congress."
So, skipping ahead a few paragraphs.
"The absence of the Democratic and Republican parties on the Utah scene puzzled many in Congress. The presence of a church party could be taken as proof that the church and state had not been separated, and there was not much congressional stomach for admitting a polygamous theocracy to the Union."
Skipping ahead again, Tim.
"Then came the dramatic, now humorous, sequence of events in which theocracy served as midwife for the birth of democracy in Utah. Sometime in 1891, at a meeting of the leaders of the People's Party, the Church Party, the first counselor of the church presidency, George Q. Cannon, made an appearance. President Cannon informed the party officials that the first presidency of the church wanted the existing party scrapped and the national parties instituted in their place."
Okay, and now, Tim, we get to the nugget of the story. Here we go with another section of J.D. Williams' journal article, voiced, by the way, by my father, Gerald McDonough, who took classes from Williams at the University of Utah.
"So the word went forth from that meeting that Mormons should join both national parties. And as the word moved down the hierarchy, imaginative bishops at the ward level gave practical translation to the advice. They stood at the head of the chapel aisle and indicated that saints on one side should become Republicans and those on the other should become Democrats."
That sounds a lot like the story you heard, Roger. What's like the source material this guy found his article? Like, how'd you fact check this?
Well, so for the notion that the church's first presidency, that's the top three guys in the church, that they wanted the old parties scrapped and the new ones adopted, J.D. Williams cites a book written by a later church president, Gordon B. Hinckley. And then for the idea that people were sorted into parties inside of their ward houses, Williams cites former U.S. Senator Wallace F. Bennett, who said he knew someone who had witnessed that sorting firsthand at his own ward.
That's pretty remarkable and very Utah and very appropriate to today's show. You know, it kind of shows that parties aren't really ideological houses as much, sort of like very pragmatic tools.
Right.
They're focused more on their function rather than their ideology, which if the story's true, shows this very well here.
And the function at the time was trying to achieve statehood for the territory of Utah. So here's the thing, though. I'm not 100% sold on this story yet. This is just one article. And so we'd love to hear from any listeners out there who have personal anecdotes or family stories, and especially any actual evidence of their ancestors being divvied up into parties while they were at church here in the state of Utah.
And you can reach out by emailing comments at kcpw.org. Well, that does it for In the Hive today. Hopefully you've learned something. It's a little bit of a weird, we were following our own curiosities. This show is a production of KCPW, a listener-supported, independent, local public radio resource.
Our theme music is by Andrew Shaw. Podcasts are at kcpw.org and basically everywhere. Just search for In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough.
And I'm Tim Pierce. Thanks for listening.